L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live on FFC as week number 17 of the NFL season begins on this Thursday. It's the penultimate weekend of NFL action in the regular season. Still so much to iron out in the playoff picture in both of the conferences around the National Football League. And we will see that in one place on this Thursday in Cleveland between the Browns and the Jets. To kick off week number 17, we welcome you to Football Full Circle live right here on Sports Grid Radio. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. And Joe, these next few days are tremendously filled with football. We've got football happening as we speak in college football bowl action. The Fenway Bowl out there at Fenway Park in Boston, currently between Boston College and SMU. Three more bowl games on this Thursday. A ton coming your way on Friday and Saturday, including the New Year's Six into action. And as we said, Joe, the start of week 17 of the NFL regular season tonight in Cleveland. So much football to break down.
Yeah, I mean, this is my favorite time of the year, Ben. College and pro football intertwined, not just tonight, but over the weekend as well. And we have the national championship semifinal playoff games, this big ball game in Cleveland tonight. And I say big because the Cleveland Browns are playing as good as any team in the AFC right now, led by Joe Flacco. So can that continue against one of the better above-average pass defenses in the AFC? We'll see, because I talked about it all week. If Cleveland does, in fact, make the playoffs, right? They have the second wild card right now. They look like they're going to be there. Joe Flacco, the way he's playing, potentially can lead this team to maybe an AFC championship. I mean, he's got three or four 300-yard performances already. That's four more or three more than Deshaun Watson had in a year and a half in Cleveland. So, I mean, if he's going to play like that, baby, I mean, that defense can carry this team.
No doubt about it. And we'll look at the overall odds outlook for Cleveland beyond just tonight and what can happen as a 7.5-point favorite at home against the New York Jets. The over-under for Thursday night football is 34.5. There's an opportunity, Joe, just with a win tonight for the Browns to clinch a playoff berth, more than likely in line to be that top number, the top five seed, the number five seed overall in the AFC wildcard picture. Let's welcome in that Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. This is Football Full Circle, and we're getting you set for week number 17 of this NFL regular season. Quick score check in college football, as bowl games are already underway. A quadruple header on this Thursday, starting just about an hour ago in Boston at Fenway Park. It's the Fenway Bowl between SMU and Boston College. The Stangs just scored. It's cold, it's wet, it's rainy at Fenway Park. SMU up 7-3. They were a 12.5-point pregame favorite, now a 10.5-point live favorite. Total pregame was 47.5 for that over-under. Now it's down live to 38.5. SMU, 12th best scoring defense in college football this year. We'll provide updates. We'll look at the college football bowl season and what is ahead a little bit later on in the show. But Joe, first let's start back in the National Football League. And before we dive into the breakdown between the Browns and the Jets tonight, let's take a look at some of the news around the NFL. And of course, Joe, the big news yesterday yesterday, the Broncos benching Russell Wilson, and then more than likely early in the offseason, cutting ties with a quarterback they traded for just two offseasons ago. Joe, it has been a disaster in Denver, and we see that encapsulated by the benching of Russell Wilson, and more than likely doing so now so he doesn't suffer an injury for some guaranteed money, in fact, to the tune of $37 million to go into effect because it's vested in March of 2024, meaning they're putting him on the bench right now so that he does not suffer an injury, because if he does suffer a significant injury, that money becomes guaranteed immediately. It gives them a time frame to cut and move on from Russell Wilson if that is the manner they decide to do for. But for right now, Joe, for week number 17, for the remainder of 2023, Russell Wilson has been benched by the Broncos.
Yeah, and you know, in he's played above average from where he was a couple of seasons ago in terms of his last regular season in Seattle, where they were under 500. He looked like a deer in the headlights, and he looked that way last year with Nate Hackett. But he never embraced the team. And what I mean by that, and I said it, you know, at the start of this offseason and since he's been in Denver, is that the team never respected Russell Wilson as the leader or the face of their franchise. And that was evident last year when they limped down the stretch and the defense imploded and they were infighting and just fighting within amongst themselves. And then when Sean Payton came in, I thought he made a terrible decision. He seemed to embrace Russell Wilson early on, which sort of separated the rest of the ball club, right? And when things and adversity hit, that team didn't respond all that great. Now, they did start 2-5. They responded. They were over 500. But then when the season was on the line, Russell Wilson didn't play his best football. So, again, I never thought it was a good fit for them. That was clear last year. It was even more clear when Sean Payton took over the reins. But we'll see. They're going to be in a major rebuild, too. Think about this. Sure. Is that what Sean Payton signed up for, Ben?
Yeah, I think so, Joe, because you made this point many, many a time. Sean Payton was the hot commodity last year in the coaching cycle. There were many different opportunities for Sean Payton to probably be wooed by, but also maybe name his number at certain different spots along the NFL head coaching cycle. And ultimately, he decided on Denver. Why do I say that Sean Payton decided? Well, because he retired or left the sport while he was still under contract from New Orleans. So whatever team was interested in Sean Payton had to be in conversations with Sean Payton and thus the New Orleans Saints to offer up a trade package to get Sean Payton's services. Denver gave up a first and second round pick for Sean Payton and then paid him a five-year deal worth $100 million, reportedly, for Sean Payton to come in. And Joe, his main task, as we all could clearly see after a 5-12 2022 season, was to resurrect the career of Russell Wilson. You knew what you were getting yourself involved with if you would have gone to Houston or Carolina or one of the other teams, Joe, that was looking for a head coach this past offseason, Indianapolis, for instance. You could have been involved in the decision-making process about which direction you wanted to go with a quarterback, either early on in the NFL draft or through the free agency market. When you went to Denver, you knew the Broncos had already hitched their wagon to Russell Wilson. He was your quarterback, and there wasn't a grace period to figure things out after a 5-12 campaign so that this year you could win 7 games and miss out on the playoffs. It was win now. It was playoffs or bust, and this Broncos team is busting in a big, big way. And so I say that, Joe, all to say that after the 1-5 start for Denver this year, the 0-3 beginning to this season, I was incredibly critical of the Broncos. And then I ate a little bit of crow after they won 5 straight and 6-7 to firmly put themselves into a wild card position in the AFC to only drop 2 consecutive games, getting hammered by the Lions in a gutless performance, as you would say, Joe, losing outright as a 7-point home favorite on Sunday Night Football against a 3-win New England Patriots team that has now, of course, won their 4th game. We'll continue this conversation because it's not just about Russell Wilson and Sean Payton and the relationship this year, but what it means for the Denver Broncos moving forward. Because, Joe, I think when you look back on the Russell Wilson trade, Seattle sending him to Denver and all the Seahawks got in return and the monetary investment Denver placed into Russell Wilson, this trade might go down as one of the worst deals in the history of the National Football League. We'll continue the conversation up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're back live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC setting the stage for week number 17 of this NFL regular season. Just 2 weeks left in the regular season around the NFL, and it starts tonight. But Joe, we're looking at the NFL news and notes, and the big news yesterday was the Denver Broncos benching Russell Wilson, not just for week 17. The Broncos technically not eliminated from postseason contention at this moment, although a very uphill climb to make if they want to snag one of those wild card spots. In the AFC, the Broncos play the Bolts this week at home in Mile High, still booked as a 3.5-point favorite, even with Jared Stidham. Sean Payton, as you heard during the Sports Grid News update, can say that he wants to provide a spark offensively for a team that has been challenged offensively the last few weeks. It's hogwash. They're moving on from Russell Wilson. They don't want to pay him $37 million guaranteed if he suffers an injury in the final two games of this season. And Joe, again, it's not just week 17, it's the future for this Denver team that traded for Russell Wilson two off seasons ago from Seattle after Russ had spent a decade with the Seahawks franchise. They gave up to get Russell Wilson two first-round draft picks, two second-round draft picks, a fifth-round draft pick, and some talented young players like Drew Lock, who we saw win a magical Monday Night Football game, Noah Fant, the tight end in Seattle, and Shelby Harris. In return, they got Russ, and a fourth-round draft pick did Denver. And then when they got Russ in the trade, Joe, they also signed him to a five-year, $245 million contract extension, where $165 million of that was guaranteed. So, Joe, if they do make the move from Russell Wilson, and the writing is certainly on the wall, they are going to owe him so much money that's going to set the franchise back.
Yeah, I mean, the money is the big issue, but at the end of the day, if he doesn't fit what Sean Payton wants to do from the football aspect, then you have to cut ties sooner rather than later. And again, that's the unfortunate part when you give this guaranteed money and you go all in on a quarterback and a head coach like they did last year with Nate Hackett. That was completely like a fish out of water. He didn't know what to do in terms of coaching that offense or defense and was not a leader at all. And I'm talking about Nate Hackett. And so now you look at this team and you look at where Russell Wilson could potentially go next year. I mean, a team like Atlanta is just, you know, off the top of my head, an option because you see Ridder and Heinicke there. If you put Russell Wilson maybe in a team like Atlanta, could he take him to the playoffs? Possibly, I don't know. You know, it really comes down to what's his motivation, because again, that has been the biggest thing for me in terms of Russell Wilson's game. Looking at it now and where it was with Seattle is that when he was with Seattle, he was lethal when he used to break, contain, make plays with his legs, and teams had to account for not just his arm, but his ability to put pressure on the perimeter. And he did it in glimpses this year when the season was already maybe lost. Not enough. Too late, too soon. So, I don't know. You know, I think Sean Payton, again, is in a major rebuild because think about it. He wanted to get rid of Courtland Sutton. He wanted to get rid of Jerry Jeudy. He tried to shop those guys when they were 2-5 and they gave up 70 points to Miami. And he kept them around because nobody wanted them at that particular time. So, again, are those two players going to be around next year? Most likely not. So then now you have two receivers that are potentially gone. You're starting quarterback that's gone. What do you have but the bulk of that defense may be intact? Okay, great. There's still a 500 football team at that point, Ben.
Yeah. And you've still given up so much in terms of your future investments, draft capital, and financially. We know the Walton family is not going to need to put out a bucket for any donations, but still, you are setting yourself back for building the future of your franchise by this disastrous trade that is going to result in a disastrous 2 years for Russell Wilson in Denver. Last year was statistically one of the worst of his 11-year NFL career. Now in year number 12, it wasn't as bad this year. year. He only threw for more than 250 yards once since week number three, so it's not like it was gaudy statistically, but 26 touchdowns to only 8 interceptions, 3 rushing scores for Russell Wilson. He was pretty middle of the pack, I would say, in terms of starting quarterbacks this year in the NFL. But Joe, what I find so fascinating, you could tell there was a schism in the relationship between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson rather early on, that when he made Sean Payton, that is, made comments about what was happening in Denver before he was there, that if you had a coach that was from outside the organization, that wasn't going to fly anymore. There seemed to be disagreements on the sideline during actual gameplay. And Joe, you made this comment many times during the offseason when it was announced that Sean Payton would be the new head coach of the Broncos. You often said he hitched his wagon to the wrong Bronco. He hitched his wagon to the wrong quarterback, and that was going to be his lot as the head coach of Denver, at least for this year. And then if the ramifications fell out the way they are currently, it was going to set back Sean Payton and everything that he was going to attempt to accomplish in Denver, because Russell Wilson was the known commodity that Sean Payton had to become the head coach of. And that's the thing that stands out to me as well, Joe, that for both of these individuals, Russell Wilson will take a step back. He will be released. We'll see what his future is around the rest of the National Football League. But also for the Broncos, now led by Sean Payton, it doesn't seem like it's an easy divorce. And Joe, right now, based on the guaranteed money that Russell Wilson still has on his contract, it's an $85 million cap hit, dead cap space for Russell Wilson over the next 2 years in both 2024 and 2025. 85 mil paid out over a 2 year span. Again, you are going to feel the ramifications of this decision in Denver for a very long time.
Yeah, and you know, free agency, who do they sign? Who? How could they make it up? Could they pull in Ohtani and maybe sign somebody for $100 million and pay them, what, $10 a month or $10 a year until, like, what?
I think deferments work like that in NFL, but yes.
I know, I'm kidding. I understand that. I mean, but they are behind the eight ball, so to speak, in regards. They're going to have to build up through, you know, a minimal free agent market. You can't get any huge signings, and you're going to have to do it through the draft. And I'll come back to this point, is that that's not what Sean Payton signed up for, you know, because he wouldn't have went to Denver with Russell Wilson, a proven veteran at that particular time, because he has won a Super Bowl. He had his option. He could have went to Carolina, could have went to a number of different teams. So I'll say this, Denver will not make the playoffs while Sean Payton's there, because I think Sean Payton has a better shot of being in the TV booth before he makes the playoffs over the next couple of seasons, because I think he quits.
I mean, maybe so. You know, I think that's one of the reasons, Joe, that he went to Denver, because maybe there were opportunities in Carolina. Okay, you got the number one overall pick. All right, do I want to groom a rookie quarterback and be tied to that franchise for a while? Number two overall pick with the Houston Texans. Maybe Sean Payton was more interested in having that veteran experience of Russell Wilson in the hope that he could resurrect that career. But if not, you had to know that there was going to be consequences that would probably make what you had to do moving forward that much more difficult. So that was the big news around the NFL. Again, Denver remains a 3.5-point home favorite on Sunday afternoon in Mile High against the LA Chargers. Other NFL news and notes about quarterbacks, Joe, some changes coming around the league as well. Jacoby Brissett will step in as the starter for the final 2 weeks for Washington. Tyrod Taylor steps in as the starter for the New York Giants. Tommy DeVito and Sam Howell on the bench now for New York and Washington, respectively. Not a lot to say there, Joe, except some veterans coming in for some younger guys that did not pan out in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. When you talk about, you know, young guys not panning out, they, you know, it's year two, year three, where maybe they can make some way, but we'll see how it plays out, Ben. I mean, at the end of the day, the young players are what makes your team in terms of today's landscape. It's no longer the free agent, so only time will tell.
Yeah, it will be really interesting, Joe, to see how this moves forward for the New York Giants, what they do in the NFL draft moving forward in 2024, and then what the Commanders do. It seems as though there will be coaching staff changes in some form or fashion for the Commanders moving forward. Is Sam Howell the quarterback of the future? That will be a different discussion for a different day. Next, we preview Thursday Night Football here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Just two. That's it. Just two more weeks of this NFL regular season, week 17 and week 18. In week 17, the penultimate weekend of this 2023 NFL regular season kicks off tonight on a Thursday, a short week football game in Cleveland between the Browns and the Jets. Right now, Joe Lisi, Cleveland booked as a 7.5-point home favorite. The over-under is 34.5. Joe, what's the approach to Thursday night football between the Browns, a 10-win football team, and the Jets, who have lost 9 times this year?
Yeah, I'm going Cleveland. I would lay the 7.5. I actually altered it to -6.5 and lean to the under. It's going to be cold. It's going to be a little windy in Cleveland tonight. I just don't see that offense for the New York Jets putting up points. Now, I know they came from behind. They got the victory over Washington, but I still think the defense of Cleveland is a lot better than the Commanders. And for me, I think they turn over the offense. They give Joe Flacco short fields. I think they can run it with Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt. And I just think that Cleveland is the right side. And pick the score like 20-3, 20-0. I can see that game, you know, just limping to the finish line in terms of way under the total.
I see that for you as well, Joe. I actually think we might see some points, but that would involve the New York Jets offense getting anything going. New York has scored 30 points in 2 of their last 3 games, both at home and both not necessarily against the defense of the caliber of the Cleveland Browns. Houston's a better defense than what we have seen this year out of Washington, who they put up 30 against last weekend, but then goose-egged in the middle of that, or sandwiched in the middle, is that goose egg that New York put up on the road in Miami just 2 weeks ago. And Joe, when you look at Cleveland this year, the Browns have been great as a favorite. 6-2 against the number. They've won 3 straight games that Joe Flacco has started. They have covered in all 3 of those games as the favorite side as well, but never laying more than a field goal. Only one other time this year has Cleveland been a touchdown favorite or greater. That was back the opening Sunday of November against Clayton Tune's Arizona Cardinals before they made the move fully to Kyler Murray as he recovered from that injury, and they shut out Arizona that day 27-0, winning and covering as about a 13-point favorite was Cleveland. The New York Jets, meanwhile, have often been booked as an underdog 12 times already in their first 15 games of the year, 5-7 against the number, 4 gangrene as an underdog. It should be said, Joe, all 5 of those covers for the New York Jets as an underdog this season, Zach Wilson was the starting quarterback for those games. The Jets, in their 9 losses, Joe, have only covered once in the 9 losses this year. That was back week number 4 of the year against Kansas City at home on Sunday Night Football. 8.5-point underdog, kept that game close, only lost by 3. But that was the only time, Joe, in the 9 losses for the New York Jets this year, they have covered a number. So with Cleveland being booked as a pretty hefty favorite, at least to win this game outright, I would agree, Joe. I think if you're going to bet the side tonight, the Browns make more sense, even laying more than a touchdown against this New York Jets team that we're not entirely sure what they're going to provide offensively with Trevor Siemian as the starter and quarterback against the league's best passing defense. That's Cleveland.
Yeah, and even their rushing attack with Breece Hall, I don't even know if he could be effective tonight because of the front 7. You know, very underrated with Myles Garrett. Better secondary, like you mentioned, only giving up around 170 passing yards per game. They force teams into predictable long third downs, and that's where the front 7 does get quarterback pressures and sacks at a continuous rate. So that'll be the matchup tonight. I think you look at Breece Hall, 46.5, I think was his total in terms of his rush. Rushing props so low. I mean, you know, I could see Breece Hall being a factor maybe in the short to intermediate passing game, but do we really believe Simeon's going to sit back there and pick apart the Cleveland Browns secondary? I mean, if Trevor Lawrence couldn't do it a couple of weeks ago where they got absolutely boat raced, Case Keenum struggled mightily, do we think the Jets are going to walk into the dog pound and put up 17 20? I mean, because that's what you're going to need to win that ball game, right? So I just don't see it. I think it's a dead under, and I'm going to lay it. You know, Cleveland probably wins by double digits, but I feel safe with the 6.5. I altered it down.
Yeah, I don't mind that idea if you're not laying too much juice. And, Joe, when you look at last week, what a weird game it was at MetLife. The Jets led 17-0 about 5.5 minutes into the game, had a 27-7 lead at the halftime break before Washington came all the way back to take the lead 28-27 under 5 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. And then the Jets were able to drive the length of the field to set up a 54-yarder for Greg Zuerlein, not even quite the length of the field, but to set up that game-winning field goal with only 5 ticks remaining in regulation. It was a non-consequential game, as both Washington and New York have and had already been eliminated from postseason contention entering last weekend, week number 16. But you look at Breece Hall and all that he did and how much he factored in, nearly 200 yards from the line of scrimmage for the New York Jets, 95 on the ground, a couple of rushing scores, 96 receiving yards as well. He had 12 grabs. He was targeted 16 times by Trevor Siemian. Is that something that continues tonight? We'll see. But one thing we do know, Joe, Washington's pass defense, second worst in the NFL. Cleveland has the best passing defense, best secondary in the NFL. Part of that helped out by that ferocious front four that is always going to pressure the quarterback. Trevor Siemian's prop is 175.5. But Joe, now let's talk the other guy, Joe Cool, Joe Flacco, who has thrown for at least 310 yards in the last three games. It is the only time in his long and storied NFL career, Joe, that Joe Flacco has had three consecutive games of 300 passing yards. Only time in his career he's pulled that off, and he's done it in three of the four starts. Excuse me. Since he was picked up off the street by the Cleveland Browns just over a month ago. It has been truly remarkable, Joe, but do you think it continues tonight against the Jets secondary that ranks second best in terms of passing defense in the NFL?
Well, I don't know if he puts up 300, but I think he has a good ball game. Again, unless the Jets could get, you know, some pressure on Joe Flacco, knock him off his mark, as long as he has time, he's going to find Elijah Moore and, more importantly, Amari Cooper, along with David Njoku. So, again, the offensive line for Cleveland's been fantastic. I mean, he's been knocked around every now and then, but for the most part, he's gotten a clean pocket. So, I just don't see, put it this way, if Jacoby Brissett could pick apart that team, you know, for the most part, he had 100 yards. I think Joe Flacco could have a good game. Now, can he get to 300? I don't know. I would say his total tonight is a little low, right? 233, if I'm not mistaken. So
correct.
I think he can get into the area 240, 250. But I think that's asking a lot with a Thursday night game, short week, cold environment.
Yep.
So that's why I would probably just lean to the receivers as opposed to taking his total tonight.
So speaking of the receivers, still waiting the official status of Amari Cooper. Right now listed as questionable for tonight. Obviously, he and Flacco had that connection rolling last week in H-Town against the Texans. 11 grabs, 265 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns for Amari Cooper last week against the Texans. But dealing with a heel issue, he is hopeful to play. That's the latest report around Amari Cooper. But they'll know a little bit more about his status, Joe, as we approach game time tonight in Cleveland, Ohio. Outside of that, you could take a look at David Njoku, who has been sensational. Last week, only 44 yards. His receiving yards prop tonight is 51.5, but he was still targeted 9 times, had 6 grabs against Houston. But in the 2 previous games that Joe Flacco threw for over 300 yards, Njoku, Joe, had over 90 receiving yards in both of those games. Also, 4 receiving touchdowns for Njoku in the last 3 games. He has developed that rapport and relationship with Joe Flacco as well. I don't think Joe Flacco flirts with 300 tonight. I think the Jets up front, in terms of what they do in terms of pass rush and what they do in the secondary, is going to be a little bit too tough for Joe Flacco to throw for 3 bills once again. But I do think he can get close to that over-under that he has tonight at 233.5. I think that's the recipe for success for Cleveland here and what Kevin Stefanski has done in the reorganization of this offense. I will say, though, although Joe Flacco Flacco has been sensational. 300-plus yards in each of the last three games. He has thrown for multiple touchdowns in all four of the starts he has made as Cleveland's quarterback. He's also thrown an interception in all four starts. He has 5 TDs to 5 interceptions in the last 2 weeks. He has 7 INTs in total in the 4 starts he has made for this Browns team this year. It's why, Joe, it's minus 205 to the yes for Flacco to throw a pick on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 38-year-old quarterback, right? And didn't even have a full training camp to develop, and he's still putting up numbers. You got to take the good, you got to take the bad, you got to take the ugly when it relates to Joe Flacco at this point in terms of the regular season and where he is. And I'm sure as he takes more and more hits, if teams could get pressure on him, that's something to monitor as well in terms of the turnaround time. How does he respond? But minus 205 is potentially a good look for the New York Jets. I mean, if you want to lay 2-1 to get, you know, an interception, it's possible. I just think, you know, they utilize a little bit more of the ground attack with Kareem Hunt tonight, especially if Cooper is out of that ballgame. Maybe they have more heavy sets. And that's why if you're going to take a receiver, maybe you do look to Njoku, because if he's going to be in there, he's one of the best blocking tight ends in all of the NFL. That could be an option as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if they win tonight, the Browns will win their 11th game of this year with their 4th quarterback under center, and they will clinch a playoff berth. Almost unimaginable, Joe, for what this Cleveland team has gone through in terms of attrition at the quarterback position. Deshaun Watson into Dorian Thompson Robinson, into PJ Walker, back to DTR, and then Joe Flacco, for them to be in this position. But it's why now Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, of course, in Cleveland, is booked as the favorite to win the NFL Coach of the Year, a plus 120 number. Cleveland, one of 3 teams in the AFC at this point, entering week number 17, to have 10 or more wins this season. One of just 7 teams around the National Football League to have double-digit wins through 16 weeks of regular season action. It's a college football bowl bonanza up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It's a bowl bonanza as college football bowl season rolls on. We had a few bowl games yesterday on a Wednesday. We've got 4 bowl games on this Thursday with 1 bowl game already at the half and underway. It's the Fenway Bowl, aptly named Fenway Park in Boston. It's SMU and Boston College. The Stangs, the champions of the AAC, were booked as a pregame 12.5-point favorite. The pregame total was an over-under of 47.5 points. SMU, Joe, leads BC at the break 14-10. Live line, 9.5 points in favor of the Mustangs. The over-under live at the break, 46.5. 3 more bowl games on this Thursday to break down and preview. But Joe, before we do that, let's take a look back at last night. We start with the Holiday Bowl in the performance that Miller Moss put on for USC in the matchup against Louisville. So much roster attrition and transfer portal action for this Southern Cal team, Joe, following a disappointing regular season where USC lost 5 of its final 6 games to finish at 7-5. Of course, no Caleb Williams last night. Miller Moss steps up and in and makes his first career start at USC. Joe, he had thrown 32 passes all of the 2023 regular season. He had thrown 27 in total in his previous 2 years on campus for this Trojans football program. Last night, he throws 33. He completes 23 of them for more than 370 yards and 6 passing touchdowns. USC routes Louisville 42-28. The Trojans winning outright as a 4.5-point underdog in the Holiday Bowl. Joe, let me ask you this. Has Lincoln Riley found the heir apparent to Caleb Williams in Miller Moss?
Well, I think so, at least to start. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to compete in terms of spring camp. I mean, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. And what was intriguing about that game last night is you went through the roster. And, you know, to see them as 7.5-point dogs, you're like, okay, Taj Washington's still playing. Zachariah Branch is still playing. Austin Jones is still playing. From an offensive perspective, the weapons were there for Miller Moss, right? That was the only X factor that was not, was the uncertainty about the productivity of the quarterback position. As long as Miller Moss could distribute the football, they were going to have an opportunity to put up points, because I thought they had a speed advantage over Louisville. And Louisville had a very good year. They overexceeded expectations. Statistically, they were a very good defense against the run and against the pass. But, you know, USC exploited them early and often. And again, we talk about USC type of speed. That's what Lincoln Riley has recruited there. The problem is the defense. You know, in the first drive for Louisville, they went right down the field and rammed it down their throats for a touchdown. You're like, oh, same old USC. Can't do anything. But they played inspired. Miller Moss was a shot in the arm. And again, now when they move to the Big Ten, he deserves to get the job, at least based off of that performance heading into camp. But only time will tell, Ben. We'll see.
Yeah, and we'll see what the defense looks like, because that will be the question for USC moving forward. Of course, Danton Lynn, the upstart UCLA defensive coordinator that did a great job the last few years with the Bruins, makes the crosstown trip from Westwood to downtown LA to become the new defensive coordinator of USC. Elsewhere last night, Joe, Texas A&M, Oklahoma State in the Texas Bowl in Houston. The Pokes were up early and often and had to hold on in the second half, but they do. Alan Bowman throws for over 400 yards. Rashawn Owens and Brennan Presley, two wide receivers for Oklahoma State, both go over 150 yards. And Ollie Gordon II played and ran for a buck 18 and a touchdown against a Texas A&M defense that was shorthanded. The offense was shorthanded from very early on, but Oklahoma State, Joe's, wins and covers as a 2.5-point favorite, 3.5-point favorite to close against the Aggies in the Texas Bowl.
Yeah, I got screwed with this game because you know how I bet Oklahoma State, and they were dead to me after the Big 12 championship game, and they smacked me in the teeth yet again last night because I did take Texas A&M. Now, Jalen Henderson, the starting quarterback for Texas A&M, gets hurt on the first play, dislocates his wrist. So Reed comes in the backup. They couldn't get anything going. What was crazy is that, you know, FanDuel had Le'Veon Moss listed in terms of the rushing of props. He didn't even play for A&M. So that's how bad it was in terms of the third stringers and fourth stringers for the Aggies. But, you know, they try to make it a game. Mike Gundy, a very good bowl coach, didn't get the bowl win last year over Wisconsin. But when you have those playmakers, Ollie Gordon, Bowman, Brennan Presley that played last night, that's not bad. And they put up points. They jumped up early, forced Texas A&M out of their game plan, and it was lights out. And their defense didn't play all that bad. This is still a team. I think that when you look at the recruiting aspect, Gundy has built a program there. If he could just get that one or two, I want to say top-notch maybe transfers, they could be a contender in the Big 12. I know he's always there, but they don't win it, right? He gets there to the Big 12 championship, but he can't get over the top. He needs that one star transfer to maybe just, you know, push him over the rest of the way, and we'll see if he could do it.
And we'll see what the leading rusher in all of college football decides to do. Ollie Gordon II has not been super committal about what his future holds, either in Stillwater or in CFB as a whole. If they can hold on to Ollie Gordon II next year, entering 2024 in the new era of the Big 12, look out for Oklahoma State. Mike Gundy tied for the second longest tenured head coach in college football alongside Utah's Kyle Whittingham. Both of those gents only behind Kirk Ferentz, who has been at the helm of Iowa for 24 years. Gundy now in 19 years, Joe, at Oklahoma State, has 8 10-win seasons. Last night was the 10th win against Texas A&M. West Virginia was picked to finish last in this new look Big 12 this year, Joe, and instead they finished with 9 wins in a Duke's Mayo Bowl victory over North Carolina. 30-10 for the Mountaineers. They easily cover as a 4.5-point favorite. Joe, you bring up Oklahoma State and what the future could hold for the Pokes. I ask you the same thing for the Mountaineers, because Neil Brown entered this year with his program picked last in a new look Big 12 that featured teams that were playing at the Power 5 level for the first time, like Houston and Cincinnati and BYU and UCF, and still West Virginia was picked at the bottom of the barrel. To win 9 games, with Neil Brown maybe having the hottest seat in all of college football entering 2023, to do all of that, Joe, where do you stack up Oklahoma State and West Virginia in the new look Big 12 that won't have the flagship and premier programs that Oklahoma and Texas have been for the better part of the last 15 to 20 years? Not saying there's not good teams in the Big 12. You bring over teams like Utah as well, and a top 15 Arizona team we will see in action later tonight. But Joe, who do you think, if you had to set the early odds right now, will be booked as the preseason favorite to win the Big 12 championship in 2024?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, with Texas, you know, based off of what we saw, I mean, it depends on what Arizona does tonight. If Arizona can knock around Oklahoma, and you telling me Jed Fish and Fifita are coming back, I mean, that's, I know they're newbies, but, you know, I sort of would put them at the top. I mean, Fifita right now is one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12, but I do like this Oklahoma State team. You know, if I had to put odds for the Big 12 right now, I would say, I would probably list Oak State, Iowa State, and maybe Arizona's the top three.
Yeah, I would agree. I think all of those teams could be in contention for it. Iowa State is going to return so much production in 2024. It will be interesting to see where the two teams from the Sunflower State fall, in both Kansas, who will bring back Jalen Daniels, Kansas State, who we'll see later today in the Pop-Tarts Bowl with the new era of Avery Johnson at the helm at the quarterback position. Utah will be in the running. Cam Rising is coming back to Salt Lake. It will be very interesting, Joe, to kind of decipher how the Big 12 will look moving forward. But I think both Oklahoma State and maybe West Virginia on the rise as well in the new look Big 12. All right, Joe, let's look at the games today. We have the one game going on right now at a baseball stadium. We had a game last night out in San Diego at Petco Park, the Holiday Bowl at a baseball stadium. And our next football game up in bowl season, also at a baseball stadium. It's the Pinstripe Bowl between Rutgers and Miami out in the Bronx inside Yankee Stadium. Joe, for most of bowl season, Miami was a short favorite. Now the line has completely swung. Rutgers lays 2.5 in this matchup against the Canes. The total on a cold, wet, windy day in New York City, 41.5 for the Scarlet Knights and the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I can only look Rutgers in this ball game. I have no confidence in Miami, even with Williams at the helm, taking over for Van Dyke. I've been in this situation before in the Pinstripe Bowl when that Manny Diaz was coach and they got absolutely crushed by Wisconsin and Paul Christ. Are they going to do the same thing or are they going to respond? I think the game goes and leans to the under because Miami still wants to run the football, and we know what Rutgers is: blue collar, methodical drives, rely on defense. I just think that Rutgers defense is a little bit underrated. When you look at what Chiano's done, one of the best third down defenses for much of the year, right in the area of about 29% to 30%. That's, you know, top 15, top 20 in all of FBS. So, and they've gotten consistent quarterback play. I can't bet this game because of being in New Jersey, but I would lay it with Rutgers. I think they win this ball game, and I think it's close. I would lean to the under as well because we see the rain, we see the wet soaked type of sod that's going to be there in Boston and Fenway. It's going to be the same in Yankee Stadium, and the history of this bowl says go under as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. I bet Rutgers last week when they were still an underdog at +1.5 and sprinkled on the money line. It was even money at the time. Rutgers, Joe, is going to be an interesting team to follow in the new era of the Big Ten because they are going to have so much valuable returning production from last year's team into 2024. And all of those guys are playing in this football game. How much does Miami want to be up here in the cold in the Northeast in a game that really doesn't encapsulate a 7-win season for Mario Cristobal and company. That remains to be seen. But we know Rutgers is going to be motivated. We know there is going to be a strong Scarlet Knights contingent at Yankee Stadium, even in the bad weather. This is going to be a celebration for Rutgers under Greg Schiano, back in a bowl game for the first time in a full college football season since 2014. Joe, 11 senior starters for Rutgers were draft eligible for the NFL. 10 of those 11 decided to forego the NFL and come back to Piscataway, including key members like the Big Ten's leading rusher, Kyle Munnengai, members of that defensive front, Ty Powell, Aaron Lewis. All of these guys are coming back. All of them will be on display in the Pinstripe Bowl against Miami. I think Rutgers is motivated. I think Rutgers wins this game, and I would still even lay the 2.5, despite the fact I got it when Rutgers was booked as the dog. Next game up, Joe, Pop-Tarts Bowl in, I believe it's Orlando today, between Kansas State and NC State. 2.5-point line, Joe, in favor of K-State. The Wildcats against the Wolf Pack. The over-under 48.5. What's your thought?
I like NC State, and it just comes down to, and I know he's cost me money too, but Brennan Armstrong, a veteran quarterback, Avery Johnson for Kansas State, taking over for Will Howard, still inexperienced freshman. I lean to NC State with the points, but I don't love it.
Yeah, Kansas State this year as a single-digit favorite, not great. 2-3 against the spread, 2 outright losses. NC State as an underdog turned their season around midway through this campaign. 5-2 against the spread for the Pack as an underdog. Won their last 5 games in a row, 4 of them outright as a dog as well. More coming your way on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC for just a few more minutes. It's a quadruple header of bowl games on this Thursday. One already in action. SMU leads 14-10 over Boston College at the Fenway Bowl early on in the third quarter. The Eagles, though, driving right now deep into Mustangs territory. Joe, we've talked about the Pinstripe Bowl coming up later this afternoon at Yankee Stadium between Rutgers and Miami. The Scarlet Knights now booked as a 2.5-point favorite, also a 2.5-point line in Orlando at the Pop-Tarts Bowl between Kansas State and NC State. The Wildcats, a favorite over the Wolfpack. And then the finale tonight, Joe, an Alamo Bowl that should be fantastic. Top 15 tilt, number 12 Oklahoma, number 14 Arizona. The Wildcats actually booked as a slight 1.5 favorite, minus 132 money line. And the over-under for that game, Joe, tonight at the Alamo Bowl is 59.5. What's your favorite play in that game?
I like Old U plus the points. I'm going contrarian. Everybody hot on Arizona, and rightfully so, but I think the hiatus, the 2 or 3 weeks, could affect the continuity. I'm going to take a shot and take Oklahoma plus the points tonight.
Arizona did win their final 6 games of the year. They actually went over in their last 3 games. I think we see some points tonight despite a really good Arizona defense throughout most of this season. I think Noah Fafita, Jonah Coleman, Michael Wiley, everybody that's involved in this Wildcats offense will be able to put it up against an Oklahoma defense that certainly regressed down the final month and a half or so of this regular season after a strong start. Big day, Joe, for Boomer Sooner. Jackson Arnold, the talented young freshman, makes his debut and his first career start for Oklahoma in this matchup against Arizona. I think Brent Venables takes off the reign in this bowl game experience and allows him to air it out. So I love the over tonight. I think we see some points in the Alamo Bowl at 59.5. And keep an eye on the Alamo Bowl, because last year the two teams that played in the Alamo Bowl were Washington and Texas. They faced each other then. They'll face each other in the nightcap in the Sugar Bowl, the college football playoff semifinal this upcoming Monday. That's the first day of 2024. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Football Friday on Football Full Circle.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at LegendsWithAZ.com.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Warning! Inflation is back on the rise. The national debt is spiraling out of control. The stock market has been at an all-time high, and wars continue to rage across the globe. Experts are predicting a massive economic crash for 2025, and you should be ready. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, where you'll learn why tens of thousands of hardworking Americans and even the world's central banks are turning to precious metals to help protect and diversify their money. Get your free gold and silver kit from Goldco by calling 855-GOLD-IRA. You could even receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Don't let your financial future slip through your fingers. Learn why so many Americans are diversifying with gold and silver today. Call 855-GOLD-IRA. That's 855-GOLD-IRA.